Nishnabe agi geyezmeyet Nbwatchimowen. Potawatomi Legend of the Creation of Man by Chief Simon Polkagan. Narrated by Majel Winchester DeMarsh. There is an old tradition among our people, dimly seen through the mists of time, that Geshem Nado, the Great Spirit, after he had created Namith, the fish, of Mbenak, the waters, and Benishik, the fowl, of Noden, the air, and Menoduk, the beasts, of Ke, the land. His work still failed to satisfy the grand conception of his soul. Hence, he called a great council of Menoduk, the spirits, that ruled over the land and seas, his agents, and revealed unto them how it was the great desire of Wadeh, his heart, to create a new being that should stand erect upon his hind legs and to possess the combined intelligence of all living creatures he had made. Most of the spirits whom he had permitted to hold dominion over the earth, when they met in the Grand Council, encouraged his divine plans. But Manadu, Wugmuk, the spiritual chiefs, when they considered the great power the proposed being might wield, quietly withdrew themselves from the council and held a private powwow of their own to frustrate, if possible, the plans of Hawaltuk, the Almighty. The loyal Menoduk who remained at the Grand Council stood aghast as Geshem Nado revealed unto them his divine plan, explaining the great possibilities that awaited the new creature he had conceived in his heart to create. The divine council was prolonged by debate from the set of sun until morning dawn. Gizus the sun arose in greater brilliancy than ever before. The spirits anxiously began to inquire of his majesty how many suns and moons would pass before he could accomplish his wonderful work. While yet the inquiry hung on Wodonwan, his lips, he said unto them, "Follow me." He led them into a great wilderness to Zagen, a beautiful inland lake. And as he stood upon the shores thereof in the presence of them all, his eyes flashed Wawasmoen lightning. The lake became boiling water. The earth trembled, and then he spake in a voice of thunder, "Come forth, ye lords of Ke, the world." The ground opened, and from out of the red clay that lined the lake came forth Nina Mina Kwe, man and woman, like Gigo, flying fish from out of the water. In presence of the newborn pair, all was as death. A dark cloud hung over the lake. It began to boil again. The awful silence was then broken. The earth shook, and Kichimanaju said, "Come forth, ye servants of Nishnabe, man." Forth leaped at once from out of the lake Nishwabnimuk, a pair of snow-white dogs, and laid down where stood the new-made pair, kissing their feet and hands. The bride and groom then each other fondly kissed, as hand in hand they stood, in naked innocence, in the full bloom of youth, perfect in make and mold of body and limb. Kunum kedewan kwewuk, their long black hair almost reached the ground, which, gently waving in Nib Noden, the morning breeze, in contrast with their rich color, grace, and forms erect, outrivaled in beauty all other creatures he had made. They looked all about them in wonder and surprise, surveyed all living creatures that moved in sight, gazed upon the towering trees, the grass, the flowers, the lake, the sunshine and the shade. And again, at each other, fondly kissed as their eyes looked love to eyes, with no other language their feelings to express. At length, Kwe, the maiden fair, slyly let go of Shkinwe Wunetch, the young man's hand, and stole away into the dark shade and hid, where she might watch to test his love and learn thereby if his feelings were akin to hers. Long he sought in vain to find his mate until at length the snow-white dogs, following on her track, joyfully howled out, "We have found her!" Now when Menadu Wakwak, the spiritual chiefs, first learned that Gitche Menadu had finished his crowning works, as he had proposed to do, sought diligently for the new-made pair until they found them. And as they surveyed the beauty of their forms erect, and the surpassing loveliness of body and limb, their wonder and admiration was unbounded. But when they saw the soul of the divine shining in their faces like the noonday sun, their hearts were stung through and through by Michi Amok, the cruel wasps of envy and jealousy. Hence they resolved in Widewanen, their hearts, that instead of trying to live in peace with them as they had done with the first creation, they would do all they could to make them discontented, unhappy, and miserable. As time rolled on, our first Wagetsiman parents and generations after them began to realize there were Michimnadok and Mina, Minomnadok, bad spirits and good spirits that exercise dominion over mountains, lakes, streams, and plains, and that they were in measure controlled by them. They also began to learn that Anishinaabe man possessed the nature and the intelligence of all the animal creation, and that he was endowed with a spiritual nature which was given to him by Jakego Gagishtot, the creator of all things, in Wau Kwik Minakik, in heaven and on earth. Hence, when we are unfortunate in securing game or unsuccessful in battle, it is all attributed to the bad spirits that held dominion over the country wherein they dwelt. And when game was plenty and they were successful in battle, this they attributed to the good spirits that controlled the land in which they lived. Sometimes, in order to appease bad spirits, they made offerings of fruits and grains. But they sacrificed animals only to Gitche Menadu, the God of Heaven, who alone they recognize as the great creator and ruler of all things in heaven and on earth. Our fathers and mothers, in their primeval state, did not name their children as do the civilized races, simply that they might be known and designated by them. But when their children were born, whatever animal or bird they imagined they most resembled, they were called by that name. And as strange as it may appear to the whole white race, in after generations, those bearing the name of some animal believed, at least they claim, to have descended from such animal whose name they bore. It might be the bear, Mako, or Wagosh, the fox, or Megejwash, the eagle. The same rule followed in each individual case. And so it was in succeeding generations, each tribe or clan adopted as their dodim, the animal or thing whose name the patriarch of the tribe was called when a child. Sometimes when at war, the animal was taken with them alive, but generally it was painted on a tanned hide and used as white men used their flags. It was an emblem of royalty as well as a symbol of loyalty. And when engaged in battle, a warrior would rather die than surrender his totem. It matters not how foolish our legends may appear to those races who call themselves civilized. Still, they were as sacred to us as Holy Writ to them.